You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, a positive Thursday in Toronto. I mean, best of both worlds. The weather is perfect.
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 Yes.
And
I'm
the
most forgiving in my life about the weather. Like, today I was just walking around saying, I forgive you.
Oh, I couldn't care less now about what
like
we went through.
The other rain, all the other garbage, I forgive everything.
Yeah.
Well, until it rains for a week straight.
But it's not supposed to rain.
It's supposed to be a nice weekend.
Knock on wood for another like 4 or 5 days. The rain will show up again. Yeah. You got that hat on. We haven't mentioned that hat yet.
Told you. He got his own 92 hat at the Pacific Mall.
Yeah.
And I got, this is the one that Vaughn gave me. It says Noodles 29 on it.
How old is that hat?
10 years. I guess 11 years since I played in Calgary.
So are you like a hat collector? Or does that one
I think it
have
just made
special
them,
meaning for
no,
you?
No, not at all. I mean, I've got several of them. I think I got a box of them. So this one's a little big on me.
Yeah, I noticed it the second you walked in. I'm like, that's a monster hat.
The reason being is I got a haircut. So I think my head is a little bit smaller today. A little bit. Instead of the puffy, what is it, Q-tip do I have.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Yeah,
I won't wear this hat tomorrow, unusually. This is the first time since
we've
moved to the
committed.
Slot. I'm fully committed, and I will have combed hair tomorrow, but
I was thinking about mailing it in today. I might tomorrow.
Well, it's your birthday. You can do whatever you want on
Happy
your birthday.
Happy birthday, by the way. 36 years old.
Thank you.
I think
now
when
you're
I first started working with you, like 31, you would have been like 29.
When?
When you started with him.
Well, I started, I guess you were about 29. How long have you been here? Seven, 8 years?
More than that. I think I was 27 when I started here.
So 9 years.
Yeah.
This is your ninth year with the company. This is my eighth year with TSN.
27 or 28?
No. You were a 28-year-old.
Grit-grinding.
Just griff.
Carb-eating machine.
Yes, you were.
And you have come a long way.
I'll bet you I celebrated back then. In 2011.
What's the routine tonight? Do you get like a boys' night out?
No, nothing.
He's got a newborn at home.
Yeah, we got a newborn. Nothing. Like, which is fine. I got nothing planned. We got to work tomorrow. You know, I'm going to golf tomorrow for the first time all year. I'm concerned about my game, I'll be honest.
Well, what about your knee?
My knee's okay. I played last year a fair amount.
About your knee?
My knee will be fine. But yeah, nothing really. We're just going to hang out at home. I'm a low-key kind of guy. You know that.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this stuff going on out in Golden State with the owner, what is it, the $500,000 fine?
And banned for a year.
Will this change Drake's behavior at all?
No, I don't think so. Drake's just a really a very
I know,
rambunctious...
But, it's just, wouldn't
but if,
you
he, s- if he crosses a line... Have they? Is this setting the stage for?
Has he ever laid a hand on one guy?
No, I don't think so.
The
laying the hands on and Kyle Lowry was completely offside.
Also, I don't want to overemphasize this, but this guy, he was coming at it from like a position of rage is too strong, but he was pissed off, and he pushed him, and then he told him to go a couple different places. Like, relax, dude. You know what I mean? Like, Drake is never mad. Drake's chirping and he's being silly at times.
Right.
But he's never, it never feels like Drake is on the verge of losing his mind or he hates a guy on the other team. He's trolling people.
Right.
This guy, Mark Stevens, the owner, he wasn't trolling Kyle Lowry. He was actually pissed off that Kyle Lowry had the audacity to go after a ball and leap into the stands. Like, how dare you come into my territory?
Well, see, I know about from my own, like, if somebody barreled over top of me and hit me in the jaw, I would be so mad I would punch them in the face. Because I would just be so angry that somebody hit me like that.
But he didn't get hit.
No, I know.
No, he didn't. I thought there was a guy that helped Kyle up, I think, too.
I think he was kind of concerned about his wife, and he was just like, God, get out of here.
Well,
I think the year ban is absolutely...
It's a bit rich, but I 100% agree with Brian's assessment of it, that this has grown exponentially since this morning.
Oh, dude, look at what's happened. It went from a review to, okay, he's not going to show up to any more games. Actually, it went a report came out who it was. Because it didn't come out last night. How was that missed?
Right.
That's what I'd love to know. How did the Golden State media...
They knew who it was.
They had to have known.
Yeah.
The video was everywhere. How did they not say, oh, that's clearly Mark Stevens? Like that. Someone knew and didn't report that the guy was a minority owner. And then some publication came out with it this morning.
Right.
Like, hey, you're not going to believe this.
Right.
The guy who pushed him and got kicked out is actually a minority owner. And then it was quickly, okay, we're going to review it. Then he's not going any more games. Don't worry.
Right.
And now banned for a year, $500,000.
Yeah.
Like, that happened quickly.
I think, like you say, and LeBron weighing in.
LeBron and the players.
I say he goes Bobby Valentine, fake glasses, mustache, and a private box. Who cares?
Just watch the players have made it clear, though,
watch
that they do care. They're looking for him. Kyle Lowry's not going to be playing tomorrow night looking for this guy, clearly. But if it gets out that he snuck in, then the Warriors are in big trouble. Then the actual
somebody has allowed him in the building.
Right.
I own the team, but I'm not allowed in the building. It's such a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
I own the team. I'm not allowed in.
Not allowed to
come in. And by the
way,
there's $500,000 for me touching a guy's arm.
$500,000 for a shove and a couple of comments. Here's Mark Kestacher, the play-by-play man for ESPN Radio. Was in the house last night. How did you react to the whole, you know, push and shove and commentary in the fourth quarter last night, Mark?
Man, it was, not quite worth it, right? $500,000, holy mackerel, yeah.
But did you think it would amount to that when it happened? I mean, you saw it happen. Did you think it would amount to what's gone on today?
No. I had no idea. We're here in Oakland with the Raptors being in it and Canadian TV, so we have two TV entities here with ABC as well. We're pretty far off the floor. So we were a good, 200-300 feet away. To me, it was just Kyle diving into the crowd. And, you know, we saw a little bit of what was going on, but didn't know if it was a spilled beverage or whatever. I really did not get the full brunt of what had happened till after the game. And then this morning, waking up and finding it was a minority owner, which, you know, still confounded me as to, you know, why? What was the purpose? Usually, you know, someone of that stature has a few more brains about him or herself as far as how you comport yourself in that front row. So not surprising how swift it was handled. The NBA is usually pretty good about that. I remember with the Russell Westbrook Utah Jazz situation, you know, that was swift as well. So that part of it doesn't shock me. And I guess we move on.
Well, what impressed you the most last night from a Raptor perspective?
You know what impressed me the most was as soon as we found out that Klay Thompson wasn't going to play, the first thing I thought of was a little bit of pressure here on Toronto because you missed an opportunity to hold home court in both games with Klay Thompson missing the last 8 minutes of the game. And now, you know, you get to face them without Kevin Durant and without Klay Thompson. And Thompson's such a big piece on both ends of the ball that now it's like we got to win this game. I mean, if we don't win this game, we're probably not going to win the series. You know, we don't deserve to win the series. So to come out as forceful as they were, to execute as well as they did, 36 points in the first, did it get away from them a couple times? Yeah, and, you know, Curry, you know, still went off for, nearly 50 points. But to have an answer every time it got down to 7 or 8 or whatever the point total was, and to shoot as well as they did and to execute as well as they did. That's what impressed me the most was, you know, you had to win this game, and they came out and they did it.
Yeah, likewise. And, you know, they're never going to get, I believe, the appropriate amount of attention and respect because of the injuries, because Durant is out, and then last night Klay Thompson is out. I mean, I've noticed some media types having the audacities to suggest that because Kevon Looney is out, I mean, come on, how could you expect the Warriors to continue without Kevon Looney? But they went into the Oracle last night, the Raptors, and threw up 17 threes. 17 threes. All five starters had 17 or more points. That is consistency. That is depth. That's putting on a show, man. And that, like, it's, again, they didn't go into Golden State and say, okay, these guys are shorthanded, so let's drag them into a bloodbath and win 88-85. And just, you know, go to the line 50 times a piece. And that's not what happened. They went out and they played their game. They moved the ball.
Well,
they hit
shots.
They wanted
to play a numbers game. We'll try to get a bunch of guys shooting threes against one guy.
Exactly. Right. It was incredible last time.
No, they played well, and you know, the Warriors, even though, you know, you're missing a really outstanding defender in Klay Thompson, you know, we talked with Steve Kerr today, Draymond Green today in our meetings, and, you know, they were frustrated that you can't let Danny Green have an open shot, you know. I mean, sure, we're down in numbers, but, you know, this guy has a track record of hitting three-pointers in the finals, and how do we let him get open as many times as he did? And we had a good laugh with Nick Nurse, you know, where we're saying what a nice job Fred VanVleet has done shadowing Steph Curry. And like, hey, we helped him to 47 points. So nice job. But you know what?
Right.
He could have went off for 60 or 65 points. So that was about as impressive. You know, I haven't been on the Raptors all season long. I had, to be honest, one regular season game in Boston in January. And then I kind of parachuted in the second round with Philly and was there for every game of Milwaukee and now. But just to see it all come together, that was about as good a performance that I have seen from them. And you know, folks were telling me about the December game here without Kawhi. And, you know, Durant scored 51 or whatever he scored. And they had their full unit, and it's a completely different Raptors team back on December 12th. But to win by 20 here, I mean, there's the praise will begin to be assigned to them. But you're right, the mainstream storyline will continue to be undermanned Warriors, and now with Kevin Durant. Who knows? I don't even know if Kevin Durant's playing in this series at this point. You know, that's going to continue to be a storyline.
Well, we talk about injuries all the time, and when somebody's about to play, we say judge them as being 100%. But listening to all the former NBA players talking about a hamstring, they say it's real serious stuff as far as going out there and playing. Could you see Klay Thompson possibly, I'm assuming he's going to play, but could you see him possibly being 100% effective with that type of injuries? Because all the former players say it's awfully difficult.
Yeah, and I agree. And I know he wanted to play last night. And I know he was really ticked that he didn't play last night.
Man, he looked pissed off.
He did. Yeah, they had to hold him out just for his own good because. And I think, and again, now we're getting to conspiracy theories, but if they know Kevin Durant isn't coming back, you know, you can't afford to have Klay Thompson get injured in Game 3 because you need him for the rest of the series. So they needed him to get two extra days rest and. For what they do here, you know, to put Draymond Green on Kawhi Leonard really messes up the defense. And as much as we, you know, joked about Kevon Looney, you know, that's not a big piece, it still is a part of a very thin unit. That's been a big problem here this year. As much as this is a dynasty and a foundational team, this is as thin of a bench as I've seen all season long for the five-year run of the Warriors. And you know, Looney's a guy who, at his size and his athleticism, you know, can guard anybody on the floor. So you take him off the floor and you bring in Boogie Cousins, you know, who just had his, you know, second major injury. And, you know, they got some problems. They got some serious problems there. So this is my long way of getting back to mentioning with Klay Thompson that, yeah, he's got a lot of work to do. They track him. I don't know who tracks these things, but we have people at the mothership at ESPN who track Klay Thompson for running 2.9 miles per game with all the curling he does on offense and all the chasing he does on defense. And only CJ McCollum of Portland runs more on average per game. So, yeah, I think I don't know if he's 100% at the start. I don't know how long he stays 100% because you guys know you get a hamstring injury. I don't care who you are, great athlete or not. That's going to be a tough cover tomorrow.
With Mark Hestetcher from ESPN, the NBA Finals play-by-play on ESPN Radio, Game 4 tomorrow night. Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's been very, very good. I don't know if he's dominated yet.
He hasn't had one. Like
we saw more out of Philly and Milwaukee, right, where it was like, I'm taking over, right, and you've got no shot. I'm putting up 15 in the fourth, and we're winning this game. Now, maybe he hasn't been in a position where he had to do that necessarily. Right. But that feels like a pretty big positive as well for the Raptors, Mark. The fact that, you know, Kawhi, he might have a little bit more to give, and they're still up 2-1.
No, I agree. I think Hubie Brown and I were commenting last night. It was in the third quarter when I think Golden State scored the first 6 points of the third quarter. And, you know, the first thing that flags in your mind is, oh, maybe they got another, not an 18-0 run, but something in that vein. And then Kawhi kind of put his stamp on the game in the third quarter, and that was as close as I have seen to him taking over so far in this series. Maybe he hasn't had to. You know, Kyle Lowry stepping up, Marc Gasol stepping up last night, and obviously Danny Green getting on track. Maybe he hasn't had to. I don't know if he's missing that sixth gear that we saw, you know, in the double overtime game, in game three of the last round, in games four and five, and certainly the Philly games you're talking about. I mean, it's so hard to, you guys know, you've been following him all year. It's so hard to get to his head to know, is that injury, whatever it is, hurting him more now than it was last week or 2 weeks ago? I thought in game two, at that last sequence, when Steph Curry passed out of the trap and Sean Livingston beat him to the ball, it reminded me of a similar pass in the double overtime game right in front of us where we were sitting near the Milwaukee bench that, you know, he shot out of a cannon and got that ball and went down for a dunk and the game was over. So I don't know if he's less than 100% or less than whatever percentage he was back then. But you're right. That is a positive sign that you haven't seen the best of Kawhi Leonard. And yet, you know, he still puts up 30 points and, more importantly, gets to the line 11 times last night, 16 times before that, and continues to be a focal point of the Warriors' defense, which helps free up the other guys.
Game four tomorrow night. It's going to be a real fun one at Oracle. Enjoy it. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for this, Mark.
No, no problem at all. Good talking with you guys. Looking forward to getting back to Canada.
You got it. We'll see you Monday night, Game 5 down at Scotiabank. Mark Kesticher from ESPN Radio.
If they got a chance to win, I might have to. Would I be able to get a media pass?
No.
I think it might be too late for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What? I mean, throw it out there. You can. I'll be down there on Monday night.
Yeah, but you're not
a member of the media.
Yeah, but they're
no different than him.
He does the post game. With Taddy.
Yeah, but there are other people in there that don't have to necessarily be there, that they've got the media pass. You would qualify for it. I just don't know what the timeline is.
Why, there's other media floaters there that don't work. They just show up with a media pass.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds.
Floating around.
Not working, not doing anything.
Yeah. Free pizza, couple of free drinks, flotation device, and they're out. Yes.
I wouldn't do it, like... Even if I could get one, I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't want to take the spot away from somebody who is, like, cover the team and passionate. Like,
but that's not going to happen.
We cover the team for 3 hours a day.
Yeah. That's
what the
not,
hell
that's
else are supposed
way,
to do?
It's not like you get in, so that means this guy from the Toronto Star doesn't get
right.
in.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's a certain... It's not like everyone can go from every spot.
Yeah.
But there's a certain amount. And
I prefer to watch it on my couch.
All right. I'm going to be down there on Monday night for Game 5.
Oh, you have to work.
Yeah.
Like you're doing the post game
stuff. We do have the post game, yeah.
Is it our game?
We got Game 5, yeah.
Nice. There you go.
I'd be going down anyway though. Like I'm going Game 5 if it goes to 7, I'll be down for Game 7 too.
7 would be a different story.
Bank on that.
7 would be a different story, but that's where I think the Raptors PR would be like want to trim a little fat and cut out some of the floaters.
Mhm.
I have two people that know I need them to contact me. You know who they are. One brought me to Game 1. Another brought me to Game 2. I'm looking for one of you. And then
shout
I don't
out.
Have to worry about
Hook it up.
Dealing with you and all the others.
We'll get you in there. I'll drive you down there if I have to.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll give you a ride down.
Your spot.
To my spot. I'll drop you off wherever you want.
And we're not telling anybody where that is because it's so money.
It's the greatest parking lot in downtown Toronto.
I still can't believe you thought it was kind of rude when I said, can I get out here, my spot's...
I didn't think it was rude.
I thought it was.
Okay, there you go.
Not rude is a little bit of a stretch. I thought...
It was a shove in an unnecessary comment.
I'm fined $5,000 never allowed in your car.
It was a light shove and a few...
And some bad language.
Some bad language. Yeah. You're Mark Stevens.
You're Mark Stevens.
But for the person that thinks I got to suck it up and go park with you and then go to...
Like, well, dude, it's not like I was driving past where you were going to park way over here and then you were going to have to hightail it back. We were right there. The parking lot was within eyesight.
Yeah.
You could have just finished the final 25 feet and parked and then we walked together down.
There was an Instagram comment called Foxhole. You said he's not a foxhole guy.
Not a foxhole guy.
Yeah.
The O-Dog is not a
block that guy.
No, well, it
might have been
him.
Me that said it.
It was him that said it on the Instagram story. Yeah.
Which, I always feel awkward doing that. I'm walking around the streets of Toronto
weird.
Recording myself talking.
I
probably looks so goofy.
You did that when I got out of the...
Because he knew the fans wanted to know, because you said on air that you were going to walk everyone through
right.
like your protocol when you got down there.
And specifically his reaction to the parking spot.
Correct.
And what he feels about it and where it is in
so how we
conjunction
found out
to the
about it
Scotiabank Arena.
Was he said, guys, I'm alone because O-Dog jumped out early. I don't know if that's a Foxhole player or a team guy or something like that.
O-Dog, not a Foxhole guy. It's all right. I'm solo. I'm trekking it towards Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah.
You got to give the people what they want, man. I promoted the Instagram account. I'm not big on Instagram. I'm trying to get better at it. I don't know how many people really care about that, but we promised content and we supplied content.
You got it. You gave it.
At Hayes TSN on Twitter and the gram. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, coming up from Boston ahead of Game 5 tonight. How will the officials treat Zdeno Chara tonight? If he gets popped in the face, is it guaranteed 2-minute penalty? And what's up with Jeff Skinner in Buffalo? Bobby Mack all over that beat. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, will join us here in a moment ahead of Game 5 in Boston. Don't forget to hit the ice with Mitch Marner. You can go to TSN1050.ca and enter for your chance to win two roster spots at the Marner All-Star Invitational presented by Intact Insurance on July 18th and 19th. You will get to attend the exclusive draft night party, participate in an on-ice skills challenge, and take tips from Mitch Marner himself. Again, all of the details are up on our website, tsn1050.ca. You can find everything podcasted on tsn1050.ca. You can subscribe and check us out on iTunes every hour of every show up on iTunes and up on SoundCloud. We're up on TSN 2, TSN Radio, the TSN app.
It's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah, lots going on today.
Amazon, Google Home. You can find us everywhere, basically.
Yes.
No excuses. Yeah.
I think you've got a big lasagna waiting for you at home.
Yeah, why wouldn't
I really
you
do.
Like?
I think Aaron has got a lasagna waiting.
And a cake. What would be your go-to cake? Like,
I don't have a go-to cake.
See, I like vanilla cake, just white cake with the icing.
Of course you would like vanilla cake. Would you be surprised if he said anything but a vanilla cake?
McCain?
Just give me the tub of icing and that's it.
I enjoy it. But you're telling me you have the pick of the litter and you're like, just give me the vanilla cake.
Confetti or birthday cake. You know the birthday cake flavor?
Like, yeah, the birthday Timbits are spectacular.
That's my favorite Timbit is the birthday cake. So to me, it's vanilla birthday cake or confetti cake angel food. That's what I'm
angel
all over.
Angel food cake is solid.
That's what I'm all
very
over.
Very solid. A cheesecake.
Yeah.
A Billy Minor pie. Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. What's happening, Bob?
You guys were talking the Timbit story as I walked by the Dunkin' Donuts table here.
It's dangerous, Dunkin', man.
It is good.
Very
there.
Dangerous.
Yeah, this is a Dunkin' neighborhood, no question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got rid of the donuts. It's only Dunkin' now down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
I think so. Yeah, they're trying to get into the breakfast sandwiches and all that.
Yeah, I guess. But
that's the way it rolls. What's the vibe like down there ahead of Game 5 tonight?
It's pretty cool. I mean, the whole Chara thing obviously is overshadowing almost the game right now. Until the game starts, it's all about, is Chara going to play? And if he does, what's going to happen? And who's going to go after him? And how is he going to respond? And how are the Bruins going to respond? And is Grizzlick going to play? I mean, we've already had one local media report here earlier this afternoon say that he's not going to be cleared to play tonight, that he won't be in the lineup. And then a few minutes ago, just as we were doing our hits for SportsCenter and That's Hockey, a local Boston TV reporter went on air and said at 4 o'clock this afternoon he talked to Matt Grizzlick's dad, who works here on the Bull Gang at the Boston Garden, and Grizzlick's dad told him that he thinks it's highly unlikely that his son will be in the lineup tonight and doesn't expect him to get clearance to be able to play in tonight's game. So could be going 7D, 11 forwards. If one of the 7D is Chara, this place is going to go absolutely bananas when he comes out for the warm-up and presumably for the drop of the puck, if in fact it is a positive on the game-time decision.
We were saying yesterday, Bobby, just let him go out last and get everyone fired up. Like, just be the last guy out on the ice.
I think the move is no warm-up. And right, like 2 minutes before the anthems, then he comes out last. So people just don't even think he's dressed. And then he comes out like when it's go time, not for warm up.
Right.
Because then, like 2 minutes before the anthem starts, you've got 20,000 people in their seats.
So no warm up for Chara.
No
just stretch
Chara.
In the shower
yes.
for 16 yeah. minutes.
That's my call. Suggest that to Bruce Cassidy for us, Bob.
Yeah, that would be taking the whole Chara as a cyborg to the next level.
Right.
Exactly.
I think he could do it. Why couldn't he pull
yeah,
it off?
Yeah, he could.
We had this conversation with Ray in the previous hour. It got heated between the three of us, and then Ray joined it, and the temperature went even higher to no one's surprise. But I think the officials are going to play a really interesting role in this, Bob, if Chara plays, because they know he's got a broken jaw. They know he's going to be a target for the Blues, but he's right in the middle of the scrum. If he gets popped in the head, and you wouldn't have given that guy a penalty for any other pop in the head, they better not give it just because it's against Chara.
That's correct. If you're a player, you're a player, and you're subject to the same rules or lack of rules.
Right.
That the NHL is sometimes famous for. I mean, and let's not kid anybody. We on that hockey, we'll show the video of the 2013 conference final when Crosby, his first game back after, first game back after taking off the facial protection after a broken jaw. So it wasn't as fresh as Chara, obviously, but in game one of the series against the Bruins, he took the jaw protector off, and halfway through the game, Chara in a scrum gave him a real solid punch right to the face. So, you know, he gives no quarter, and he shouldn't be given any either. If you're playing, you're playing. And, you know, the referee's job is to protect all the players on the ice, but it should be equal application. I mean, if somebody's got a bad knee and guys are going after him, I mean, the referee can't say, oh, he's got a bad knee. We better protect him. Just call the game.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that, and I would expect that Zdeno Chara would suggest the same thing. He wouldn't want to be treated any differently. But
no, it's going to hurt when someone punches him in the face, but you've punched enough guys in the face where he knows it's coming.
If you had an over-under, who would if there was a punch to the jaw tonight,
Patty
Maroon. That would be my guy. What do you think, Bob?
Probably. Or a guy like, you know, David Perron, we get tied up and try to wrestle him.
Yeah.
I can see a Western
Barbashev, if Barbashev gets a chance to finish him, he will. I mean, there's no shortage of guys in the Blues that play the physical style. I mean, you know, that whole fourth line, you know, Sundquist is a big guy. If he gets his lick in, he'll get it. Barbashev could do it. Patty Maroon for sure. And as I said, you know, Perron's more of an aggravating player who antagonizes people, and so without actually punching Chara in the face, he could try and antagonize him. You never know.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. What's going on here with Jeff Skinner and the Buffalo Sabres, Bob?
Well, they've been in negotiations for a while, and you keep thinking that the moment of truth is getting close here, but as of right now, they still don't have an agreement. And maybe I would say this. My best sense of it is if they don't have an agreement in the next day or two here, my guess is he's much more likely to go to free agency than not. He's looking for an 8-year deal, $9 million a year. It's high, and I'm sure the Sabres are probably choking on that a little. I wouldn't blame them. But the flip side of it is he did score 40 last year. Over the last 5 years, he's top five in the National Hockey League in even strength goal scoring. And the Buffalo Sabres are a team that really struggles to score goals. So even if they sign Jeff Skinner, if you were doing the analysis on what the Sabres need to add going into next season, you would say, oh, they got to go out and get some offense. They got to go out and get some more goal scorers. You can only imagine what we're going to say if 40 goals walks out the door. Now, there's no guarantee he'll score 40, but, I mean, if healthy, playing with Eichel, and looking at his history, you know, 30 to 40 would appear to be a reasonable expectation, and maybe more than. He was on pace for 50 last year before things slowed down. So it's kind of crunch time here, but and I don't know whether the Sabres are going to step up on this one or whether they're going to back off. But and they'll get, you know, I think the opinions in the market are split. In Buffalo, I think there's a lot of people in Buffalo think that $9 million a year on an 8-year deal is too much. And then there are a whole bunch of guys, especially the ones who buy tickets and saw the team play last year, and said, wait a minute, you're telling me that the guy who scored 40-plus on Eichel's wing isn't coming back, and we don't have anybody to replace him right now, and we needed more goal scoring anyway? Give your head a shake. Just give him the contract.
Bobby, before we get you out of here, is there a guy like in a fisherman's outfit, like serving lobster to everybody?
I don't know about the fisherman outfit, but there's they are serving lobster here tonight. So that'll sports writers and lobster, what could go wrong?
Oh, yeah. Man. Just shrapnel, you know? Everywhere.
Get that drawn butter. It's going to be everywhere. Everybody's going to look like they been rolling around in a waiting pool of grease.
I can't wait to see some of the Sports Center hits tonight.
Is Sarah Valley on site?
Oh, yeah.
He was up there doing his hit a few minutes ago, so I'll see if he's tucking into a lobster. I know who will be staying away from the lobster, and that will be me. Because if I were to eat it, it would definitely end up all over my suit. And B, I do have a shellfish allergy, so I'd probably die if I ate it.
That's not good.
Yeah. That's not for
you. We can't have
that.
And
you got your money jacket on tonight. You don't want anything happening to that.
Hey, exactly. And I did bring my EpiPen with me, so.
Priorities, Bob. The suit, one, your life, two. You got to be careful down there. All right, Bob.
Hey, listen. You know what? It's a dangerous game, but that's why we play it, you know?
That's right, man.
E and Z. You know, when Zidane O'Chara walked in tonight, he knows what kind of risk he's taking. And I walked in and saw a lobster for dinner. I said, I'm literally laying my life on the line for TSN tonight.
Two warriors at the Boston Garden tonight. We can't wait to see who comes out on top. Enjoy it, Bob.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.
You know there'll be some media members going to work.
Grizzled
veteran. As long as you get the bib cooking. You know the stupid plastic bib you get going?
It's so tough.
Are you a lobster guy?
I love lobster. I do, but you go to war with a lobster, man.
No, I tell the chef, always take the knife and give it extra cuts. Even like crab claws, I want a ninja sword chopping that so I can just open it.
Ideally. Because if you go on like a first date,
can't you get it shelled? Like, and have somebody do it for you?
Yeah, you could, but I think it's about the experience, right? Like you kind of do it yourself, and you got the dumb bib, and you got the butter, and
yeah. Remember the Seinfeld?
I'll tell you what, man.
The man hands.
Let me get that for you.
That's not a twist off.
If you ever got a growl on a Red Lobster move, is not a bad idea.
But
Ultimate Feast.
Yeah, I've been there.
Ever heard of it?
I've had it. Don't you worry about
really?
That. But the thing,
Ultimate Feast.
How many lobsters would they have if it's a pregame meal for the media? Like 100? How many? Like, because lobster's really expensive.
Look at this fisherman with all the lobsters. I mean,
yeah, I'm looking at, like, Rashog posted a picture of his. It looks spectacular. It looks like it's, you know, surf and turf. Like, there's
in the Boston
steak
Harbor.
In there.
Yeah.
No, but it costs a pretty penny.
You get that bib on Sarah Valley, and he can just feed away.
He'll eat
five lobsters. He ate 14 roast beef sandwiches at Ray's Christmas party.
But they were a little one-timers. They weren't
full. Still, it was incredible.
These look like they're decent-sized lobsters.
This is the Stanley Cup final. They're pulling out all the stops here. Like, if the Leafs were in the Stanley Cup final, do you think the alumni box would have the chicken penne pesto?
Oh, yeah.
I will say, we have not seen that since. No one has.
I think the Leafs heard about you talking about it and, like, we can't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because this goon gets up there and eats it all.
Right. They don't want me coming. They know I'm going to sniff it out and then I'm going to weasel my way in.
I don't blame them for that. It's probably out of spite.
Yeah, it probably is. Or the fact that we've been pumping it up so much, it can't possibly meet an expectation. Like, we've been talking about this pesto chicken in the alumni box for 2 years.
You have.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, actually, like, literally 2 years.
Literally 2 years. So I think they're kind of like, we can't bring it back out because someone's going to have it. And they'll be like, this is okay. What are these guys talking about?
Maybe they go the other way and say, we're going to make it available in the concourse.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Penny pesto.
Mm-hmm.
Would you line up for that?
I would absolutely line up.
For how long?
Not a 21-hour lineup, but no, I would line up
I'd
for
I'd get in line for a while.
A good half an hour.
Yeah, a good half an hour?
Yeah,
that's
for sure. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Start teeing up game four of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. The Raptors up 2-1. No Kevin Durant tomorrow night. Klay Thompson will play, but we don't know exactly how healthy he is going into that game. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm not going to bet against the Blue Jays tonight, but I'm going to take the over in the game tonight. Edwin Jackson is on the mound, the human pitching machine. Batting practice for New York tonight.
You think so?
Yeah, and the Jays' bats have come alive the past couple of games. Over on that, Rangers and Padres tonight. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game. Let's you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Game four tomorrow night. Oracle Arena.
And did you say game five is Monday night?
Yeah.
So they're not doing the...
Two days in between.
Travel back on Saturday, practice on Sunday, play on Monday. Kevin Durant officially ruled out. I think the charade is up.
Yeah,
that's enough. Like, it's enough. Stop pretending like he's playing. He's not. If he's not playing tomorrow night.
But if game seven would be next Sunday, right?
It is a lot of time.
So that's 10 days from now.
Yes, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I feel like he has.
If it makes it that far.
He believes he's going to blow his calf out. Like, I think that's what's happened here.
Right.
You know, like, we had Doris Burke on, and she was telling us about Mike Golic.
Yeah.
Golic said, I had the same thing. I knew the second I started sprinting, I was blowing this thing out. And I kind of feel like Durant's in the same spot. Like, he knows the second he gets out there and tries to run, he's just going to blow his calf out. So, yeah. You know.
As much as he wants to win championships, too, he's got a big decision coming ahead, and I'm sure.
Big time.
Big time. It's like his back nine is coming up.
Well, and that could have been evidence of what the future of Golden State might look like. If Kevin Durant moves on, I don't think Klay Thompson's going anywhere. I think he's going to re-sign, so they're still going to be a great, great team. But let's say Klay decides to leave, too.
By all indications from speaking to his father,
he's not going back. He's going back. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, Golden State is still a playoff team. They'd still win 50 games with Steph Curry and with Draymond Green, but they wouldn't be a dynasty, you know? Like, and that's, again, about last night. Like, that team that Golden State put out, some people were giving off the impression like it was the Washington Generals. It wasn't. You still had Steph Curry and Draymond Green. You had two of the best three players on the court. And you that team beats 20 to 25 teams in the NBA every night.
Draymond wasn't very good last night.
Offensively, he airballed a couple of shots. Yeah.
He hit a couple big ones, too.
Yeah.
He's
a great player.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're doing a draft last night and that Golden State team is available to you and the Raptors team is available to you, you're going either Kawhi or Steph first and second.
Right.
And I think you're going Draymond Green three. Like, if you're building a team for tonight, they had two of the three best players, and they're at home, and the Raptors still found a way to perform incredibly well.
But most of the depth guys would be Raptors.
Absolutely. And that is where the exposure.
Pick number four would be.
Then you get to Siakam and Raptor, Kyle and Gasol and Danny Green if he's hitting shots.
The Cook player is pretty good.
Yeah. Quinn Cook's, he can play.
He's a good player.
But anyway, I mean, Klay Thompson is going to be in the lineup tomorrow, and, you know, we're going to tee it up all day tomorrow, but. He's playing. I just don't know if he's going to be anywhere close to 100%.
Right.
Cup final, game five tonight. Decisive.
I think St. Louis wins. I think they win it, and they go home and win the Stanley Cup in St. Louis.
Yeah.
That's just my gut.
I feel the same way. Like, I wouldn't
ready
put money
to take
on
charge
it.
Of the series. Oh, obviously.
I wouldn't
it's
put any
two
money
two evenly
on
matched
it.
Teams. I just got a feeling about them that I think they win tonight, they go back and win it in St. Louis.
I think there'll be a little char boost tonight. You have to see if you can feed off of it.
That place is going to go crazy when he's out.
And here's the other thing. The blowout game, the top line was going, but 5-on-5, they haven't done much.
Terrible. Marchand, the whole lot of them.
I'm waiting for them to. Like, that Pasternak, when he gets looks, like, he can make you pay. That's the one thing that I've kind of got my eye on.
Well, every series, when they needed them, they've always shown up.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Tonight would have to be a statement game from that top line.
Right. Or Tuukka Rask. Again, just
but Rask has been fantastic.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. He's like, we're not losing tonight.
Like, right.
That can't happen. The one position you can do that with.
If I am a Bruins fan and I would worry about something is he hasn't had that. Like, Binnington had a stinker. Rask hasn't had one.
Right.
Like, they've the Bruins, like, on home ice, you've got to seize this. If you don't, you're right. If St. Louis wins it tonight, game six, like I think you could book it. But the Bruins are a pretty resilient team, too. Like that, I think it's been fantastic hockey. We haven't watched, we've all watched it, but we haven't talked as much because of the Raptors, because of what's going on here. And it hasn't gotten to play because there is no Canadian team and all of that. But it's been, if you take all of the storylines, like it's just been good hockey, good hard-hitting hockey.
Oh, it's been old school. Like if you've been waiting for that, you want physical hatred. These two teams don't like each other.
Irritability, the good goaltending, great plays. Like there's been a lot of everything.
For. Everything you're looking for.
Yeah.
I expect a very fun game tonight. I hope if Chara plays tonight, he's got to start, doesn't he?
Like, oh, yeah.
Doesn't Cassidy have to get the pop in the rink starting for your Boston Bruins?
Yeah, you got to milk it. You got to do everything. Yeah. Last out on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you do that for the...
call his name last, too. Like, I would honestly call Tuukka Rask in his name first, and then I'd circle back.
Yeah.
Like, the let it breathe for a minute and on the blue line.
But isn't...
Captain. I think you'd take the lights out, and then when he comes out, you just put the spotlight right on the entrance going onto the ice.
But I feel like he's like Kawhi like that. He doesn't like that attention. Like, he's not a guy that goes, look at me.
You're right.
Like,
yeah, but he's not in control of game ops.
You're right.
You know, if you are running that building's game operation tonight and you don't focus on him playing Zdeno Chara, if he is playing, what's the point of having it?
Here's where... I don't know this, but behind the scenes, where a director, this would make his job quite easy tonight. You've got a camera on Chara the whole night.
All night.
Go to Chara. Because it is theater. We want to see. You know, I think that's where one of those storylines, like there'll be other storylines. Tarasenko's been fantastic. I saw the panel debating last night, like, who is your Conn Smythe winner from St. Louis? Because it's been kind of balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Binnington for me.
Not anymore.
No.
Tarasenko right now.
I think it is Tarasenko as well.
He's got goals in four straight, doesn't he? Five
straight. Well, he had points in eight games, I believe, in a row. Like, he's done a fantastic job, but...
Might be Petrangelo, maybe?
Yeah, I could see him getting love. I could definitely see him getting love.
But Tarasenko is...
It's supposed to be the accumulation of the whole playoff run, though, isn't
right.
it?
Not just
but
the
how
finals.
Many times?
Yeah.
It's what have you done for me lately?
Because I think if it's the whole final or the whole playoff,
Binnington may get some love.
Probably should get some love.
Yeah.
Jaden Schwartz would get love.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. It's a playoff game tonight. Don't forget to head over to the Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. Game 5 of the Cup Final. And tomorrow night, Game 4 of the NBA Finals.
Patio season.
Patio
back
season.
Tomorrow.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.